Hi there, it's Megan Della Camina here and welcome to the Women Leadership and Wellbeing Podcast. I'm super excited you're here today because I have a return guest, Lee Holmes, who is with us today, who I interviewed back in episode number 10. And today, Lee has a new book out, which I'm really excited to talk about. We're going to talk about the topic of fasting. So we'll get into that in a moment, but just for those of you who don't know Lee, she is a holistic nutritionist, a yoga and meditation teacher, a whole foods chef, and author of the best-selling Supercharged Food series. And there's so many books in that series. You know, she runs 4-week and 2-day Heal Your Gut programs on her website, superchargedfood.com. She's all over the media. She is one of the experts in this space in Australia, and I'm super excited to have her back on the show. So let's get straight into the interview. Hey Lee, how are you today, love?
I'm very well. How are you, gorgeous?
I'm so well, thank you. And I'm so excited to have you back on the show. So thank you so much for coming back.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me back, by the way. I always love talking to you.
Oh, thank you. Likewise. I was, as you know, I have all your books. I'm obsessed with you, and which I can say because we're friends. But when this book came out, Fast Your Way to Wellness, I was like, I think I was actually jumping up and down. I was so excited to see it because, like, this is everything, right now. And it's very topical, but it's also something that I know you have been doing for a long time. So I'd love to, let's just riff on this and see where we go. So let's start with, what is fasting? There's so much social narrative around this. You're an expert. So tell us, what is proper fasting?
Well, there are so many different types of fasting methods that you can do, and I do cover them all in the book. But really, fasting can be not eating or reducing the amount of food that you eat for a period of time. It's very much a healing process to the body. But what I say in the book, and particularly for women, is that it's not great to starve yourself. So when you do not, if you just take everything you eat out of your diet for a day, it's not good because it can put your body into starvation mode and start to shut down fertility. So the way that I talk about fasting and the way that I fast is intermittent fasting, where you're eating a certain amount of food, which is 500 calories for women and 600 for men, twice a week. And that allows your body to give, you can kind of reboot your, it's like rebooting a computer. You can reboot your body, which is quite amazing, and put it into fat burning mode, which is very interesting. So the types of fasting that I talk about in the book, I've got the intermittent fasting, which is really popularized by a doctor called Dr. Michael Mosley. Have you heard of him?
Yes.
Yeah, so he's written a few books around intermittent fasting. And I started fasting about 4 years ago now when I actually hit menopause. I'm turning 50 in a couple of months, and I hit menopause, and I put on about 5 or 6 kilos, and I thought, how can I lose this weight? And it was just hormonal weight through going into menopause. How can I lose this weight naturally and easily? And I'd written my cooking books, and I'd written all about healing the gut, so I wanted to do it in a way that was safe and something that I could work into my lifestyle. So I started looking into intermittent fasting by Dr. Michael Mosley, who kind of popularized it, and I started doing it. But I noticed that a lot of the recipes online were full of low-calorie junk foods. Mm. So a lot of, you know, sugar in there, a lot of, like, artificial sweeteners and things like that. And I wanted to find a way of fasting that was healthier. So I started to fast and I started to sort of experiment with whole foods and fasting with real foods. And I found that I wasn't as hungry doing it that way. And I was really satiated, and I felt so much better. It almost sort of supercharged my fasting days. So that's how I started 4 years ago in fasting. And I did lose the extra 5 or 6 kilos that I put on, but I also felt really good from it. So as I mentioned in the book, I do talk about the different ways of fasting. So the 5-2 is the one that I do, but there's also one that's really super popular right now, and it's called the 16-8. Have you heard of that?
No.
So the 16-8 is really easy, especially for people if you're interested in fasting and you want to start fasting but don't know where to start. The 16-8 is where you have dinner at 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock if you want to at night, and then you don't have breakfast till 10 or 11 the next day, and that gives you 16 hours of resting the body and getting your body into fat-burning mode and your hormones nice and balanced. After hour 12 in the morning, between hour 12 and hour 16, you're in fat-burning mode. So that's the mode that you want to be in, so you're sort of burning off fat and you're creating more sort of muscle mass in your body. And the 16-8 is really easy for people because they have dinner at 6 or 7, then they just don't have breakfast till 10 or 11, and then they've done a fast day. But most of it you're sleeping, so it's pretty good to do it that way. And then some of the other ways that I talk about in the book of fasting are the 3-4 approach. So 3 days of limited calories, 500 or 600 calories, and then 4 days eating normally. And some people do that because they really have a lot of weight to lose, and that's a really good way to lose weight as well. And then you have another method, which is called up day, down day. And that's where you're eating normally one day, and then the next day you're restricting the amount of calories that you're having, so you get into fat burning mode. And the reason I really sort of wrote the book in the beginning was because, firstly, because I was in menopause and wanted to lose that extra weight, but secondly, because I just wanted to have a real philosophy around real food and real eating. And and also I found that many of us are just snacking constantly. So we're all the time, we're sort of marketed to eat snack foods and to eat every 2 hours to keep our blood sugar levels stable. So if we're snacking, we find, many of us find that we're still hungry a lot if we're eating constantly. Do you notice that? Like if you eat constantly, you kind of still
totally
hungry.
Totally.
Yeah, because your body, the blood glucose levels go high and your body is burning sugar, but it's not burning fat. But if we allow ourselves to have a little bit of a break between meals and rest our gut and rest our systems, we do then get into fat burning mode. So I wanted to sort of get away from snacking and more into just eating good portions, but not huge portions, and then just having space between meals as well. So that's where kind of fasting comes in. And there's one more type of fasting that I talk about in the book, which is what I learned about in India, and it's a Khichdi fast, and that is where you kind of have one or two ingredient fast. You have a bowl of khichdi soup, or you can do it with rice. It's just one or two ingredients. And what that does is it doesn't confuse the body, and it's really good for healing the gut and getting into fat burning mode because you're just having one or two ingredients in this khichdi porridge. So that's another interesting way to do it. But the most popular ways are the 5-2 approach and also the 16-8 approach.
Isn't it interesting? I have a long history with fasting. Some of it healthy, some of it exceptionally unhealthy, that stem back to being a dancer as a teenager. But it's really interesting. I typically do the 16-8.
Yeah, I know. It's really funny. A lot of people, because I've been traveling Australia and I've just been to England, talking to lots and lots of people and finding out about how they fast and what they do. And many people naturally fast like you do, and they just don't feel like breakfast in the morning.
Yeah, I have a smoothie about 10 o'clock. So, you know, and I'll typically have a light early dinner, especially at this time of year in Australia. You know, we're going into winter. I'll have soup, like homemade soup, vegetable, vegan soup. And then I'll get up in the morning, I'll exercise, I'll do my meditation, you know, I'll do some writing, et cetera, and then I will have a smoothie. Like that's my typical. So that's interesting. I do the 5-2. I did a pretty intensive 60-day cleanse before Christmas last year, under the supervision of my integrative doctor, and it was mostly vegan. One day it was meant to be juice, but it kind of ended up being smoothie juice soup because the juice thing is just too hard.
That's really good.
And then second day was light, plant-based, vegan. So salad, smoothie. I would usually have juice because I'd, you know, my green juice, I'd be wanting it. And then some soup or maybe a piece of fish or something. And that was, I felt amazing.
Yeah, that's really good. It's really good that you're not just sticking to juices as well, because you do need, as a woman,
it's too hard.
You do need all of those variety of nutrients, you know, vitamins, minerals, amino acids in your body. So just not eating at all is kind of like a, you don't want to get into those sort of obsessive fad diet kind of programs. So having the soups and having the smoothies and having a bit of fish or having salad, it's a really good way to go. But you're still eating less calories, but you're getting your body into that mode where it's regenerating and rejuvenating and back to homeostasis, and that's where you want to be. It's interesting how fasting can really work with particular hormones as well. So it balances out your leptin and your insulin. So with leptin, that's sort of your hunger or craving hormone. And when we're constantly snacking or we're eating a lot all the time, that leptin is never able to be balanced. And it kind of makes you, if you're balancing it, it's controlling your appetite and you don't have all the cravings that you do, and it's keeping your fat stores in balance as well. So I love the way that fasting actually can really improve your hormones, especially, you know, if you are going into menopause as well. It's a great thing for that too.
Yeah, totally. And tell us about, I mean, you are the gut expert. Tell us about how fasting helps heal the gut.
Yeah, I mean, fasting is amazing for healing the gut because you do get that space in between meals, and you're not constantly eating and overworking your digestive system. It's really good. The other thing about fasting with whole foods, or fasting your way to wellness, as I call it, is that you include lots of really good fats as well in it. So fasting, traditionally people think, I can't have fats, I've got to skimp on the fats, but don't skimp on the fats. One teaspoon of, you know, coconut oil or olive oil or flaxseed oil is only 40 calories, and it's amazing how far you can go with whole foods when you're actually fasting. So this way of fasting is actually really good for healing the gut, because you are introducing like lots of kind of broths and bone broths, very, very healing for the gut, full of gelatin, full of, you know, magnesium and minerals that are really good for the body. And if you're doing it with whole foods, you're actually eating a cleaner kind of diet. So you're actually you're not eating a lot of processed foods if you're fasting this way. And processed foods are the worst thing for if you have a dodgy gut, because a lot of them have ingredients that our DNA just does not recognize at all. And so we can't synthesize them, we can't absorb them into our body because we just can't recognize them. You know, these things with artificial sugars and MSG and lots of sort of additives and
numbers.
So eating a cleaner diet when fasting is the best way to go. And it's actually, you know, you find with fasting you're eating less as well, and so your portion controls are better, so you don't have all of that food just stuck in your stomach trying to be digested, and with lots of different ingredients that you're trying to, you know, your digestive system is trying to process. So that's a good way for it as well.
So if someone is going to start fasting, and perhaps they haven't been, you know, maybe they're in a, you know, they're in a really busy job, really busy life, and they're just grabbing stuff, and there's processed foods and, you know, all the sugars and the carbs and, you know, the alcohol, which is a typical diet, right? For the majority of people. If someone was going to start fasting, well, number one, they should go and get your book, Fast Your Way to Wellness, because it's phenomenal and it's beautiful, and there's so many great recipes, and the way it's laid out and the calorie, everything about it is amazing. So they should do that. Once they've done that, what are your tips for how people start?
I think for many people starting, I think the 16-8 is the best way to go. So that is just where you're delaying breakfast a little bit. Just do that one day a week and see how you feel afterwards. And then, I'm not going to lie though, the first 2 weeks of fasting, haven't you noticed, are really hard. Did you find that? Oh my God.
So hard. Yeah, so hard. Just super hungry, which I want to talk about in a minute. Yeah. But yeah, super hard.
Super duper hungry. So once you get through those first 2 weeks of fasting, your body gets into the mode where it's used to fasting, and you find that you feel so energized and so amazing after a fast that I fast on a Monday and a Thursday, and I actually look forward to the days that I'm fasting. I'm actually fasting today as well because I've been over in England, I've been on a plane, and so I just want to feel good again. So I'm fasting today as well. So really it's an individual thing. I mean, a lot of parents love to do the 16-8, which is where they're just eating within an 8-hour period with the kids, and they find that quite helpful. If you're a stay-at-home parent, that works really well. You can have dinner a little bit earlier and then kind of delay breakfast. It's it's very flexible based on your lifestyle. If you work sort of in a shift work, you can fast consecutively. So you could do 2 days consecutively, like a Monday and a Tuesday of fasting, of intermittent fasting, and that works well as well. A lot of uni students I've been talking to, they love to skip breakfast because they're kind of not hungry in the morning either. So that's kind of a good place to start as well. And also the recipes in the book, I wanted to mention those actually. They're very simple and easy with everyday ingredients. It's not like your superfoods that you have to go to an Amazonian rainforest to find. It's everyday kind of foods that you can find in the supermarket. Tuna, it's like salmon, it's like leafy greens, it's your zucchini, your cauliflower, your green bean. You know, it's just everyday foods. And I've made the recipes so simple that the challenge I had when I started fasting was I got really uninspired at dinner time, thinking, what am I going to make, you know, after a cup? Because I would eat at 11 and then I'd eat again at 2 and then eat something else for dinner, and I was really uninspired. So I've created a lot of dinner recipes that are 15-minute meals, one-pot meals, baked fish wrapped in sort of parcels with lots of herbs, really easy stir-fries, lots of recipes in the book that are simple for people, and ones that you can, if you want to, prepare. I fast on Monday, so I prepare things on a Sunday and then just have things ready for my fasting week. That's a good way to do it too. But I would say to people, just start easy, start slow, and just do 1 day a week where you're doing the 16-8, having dinner at 6 and breakfast at 10. And see how you feel.
And do you, I love that you fast on Mondays and Thursdays. Do you recommend for people that they get into a routine same days each week? Like, is that, sounds super helpful.
For me, it's helpful because, like, by Monday after the weekend of eating,
yes,
I feel like I need to sort of fast on a Monday, and it just, for me, it kind of works. And then Thursday to get ready for the weekend, I like to fast on a Thursday. But the good thing about fasting is that it's just so flexible. So if I had a dinner or a lunch or something on a Thursday, I just swap my days to Wednesday or Friday. I do like to do it as a regular sort of thing if I can. I don't like to swap my days all the time, but doing it on a Monday and a Thursday kind of works well for me. Yeah, and I do flip a day here and there.
And then when you are on your non-fasting day, what's your advice for people? you know, it's like being on a diet when we used to diet, because we don't do that anymore, but when we used to diet, and then you have a cheat day, you know, and it's like eat every single thing in sight. So on the non-fasting days, what do you recommend for people? Like, what's their philosophy and approach for their food consumption?
Well, I think balance and moderation is key, but I always find that after a fasting day, I'm not hungry at all.
Yeah.
And I really just don't feel like eating, but not in the first 2 weeks. In the first 2 weeks, you'll feel like you want to chew your arm off. But I think if you can, the main things to look at for the day after fasting is try and delay breakfast if you can on the day, even the day, you know, that you're not fasting. And that kind of, it's all fat burning. You're really, really starting to burn fat and get all of those amazing benefits from fasting. And then after that, I recommend just looking at portion control, because we do sometimes kind of overeat. We really fill our plates and we keep on eating even though we're not hungry. So portion control is good. And then I think it's balance and moderation. You know, you can eat clean, but enjoy some of the foods that you like to eat as well. But just think balance and moderation in all things. And then that kind of works well, I think, instead of just going, you don't want it to be like you're fasting one day, then the next day you're just eating everything in the fridge and just ruining all of the benefits of fasting. So just to have a sort of balanced, moderate approach. And then there might be a day a week where you just eat whatever you want. And I think that's fun too.
Yeah, totally. And what's your advice for people who I'm about to start again? I was going to do another 60 days, but I think this is a much healthier with more longevity way to go. So I'm going to start doing, you know, keep doing my 16-8 because that works really well for me. And then get into more of a routine around the days that I'm, you know, doing this. For people who are going to start, what's your advice for getting through the hunger?
Dealing with cravings is interesting. I mean, some days you're just going to just, you know, if you're doing it on a day where it's a slow drag kind of day and you're not working and you're just sitting there staring at the fridge going, oh, my God, those chocolate donuts are calling me. if you have all those kinds of cravings, if you really, without the right kind of strategies, they'll drive you. Your cravings will drive you. So some of the things that I do when I'm fasting is I'll pick a day where I know I'm going to be distracted or working, because that's a lot easier. Mm. I've also got a whole bunch of swap outs for dealing with cravings as well if you're really hungry. So some of the things that I do, if I'm craving something really oily or fried, I'll just have some avocado or some kind of good fat, like a teaspoon of it, and that kind of satiates that craving. If I'm feeling like hot chips, which I do quite often, I'll just put a sweet potato in the oven or have some sweet potato or pumpkin or parsnip, and that kind of really satisfies that craving. And if you're looking at something like sweet potato, it's only 86 calories for 100 grams, and you can have that with a little bit of oil and then stuff it with a whole lot of veggies and pop it in the oven, and that's really easy as well. If you're feeling like something really, really super sweet, I'll have a little bit of dark chocolate, or I'll have some low fructose kind of fruits. Like, I always keep berries, frozen berries, in the freezer. I always have bananas, like, peeled and ready to go in the freezer, and I'll have that with a bit of yogurt. So that kind of helps. Pineapple's good as well. Low fructose fruits are really good. And then if I'm feeling like something super salty, I'll reach for like a... I do this, might sound a bit strange, but I like warm water with a pinch of sea salt in it and a bit of lemon, and that kind of just really satisfies that salty craving. And what I do on the Sunday, as I said before, is I kind of like to get quite prepared. So I'll have a few things made or chopped in the fridge ready to go on Monday. So I have things accessible, so I'm not going reaching for sort of low-calorie junk foods and snacks and things like that on a fasting day. And also it's good to sort of lean into your cravings as well, I think, and just recognize them. And then what I generally do is I go back to the why. Why am I fasting? Is it to lose weight? Is it to feel healthier? Think about the whys and why you're doing it, and set a few goals for yourself. And you'll find that once you lean into your cravings, you use those sort of swap outs as well. Distract yourself. Going for a walk is also really good. Phoning a friend. I've got a whole section in the book about distraction actions and what to do when you're really having a lot of cravings. There's a whole section on that. So doing things like that really help as well. Journaling is good as well. Like, I don't know if you do lots of journaling in your work, but I find journaling or just writing down your thoughts really good, and you can look back on them. You can look back on what you've written, and you can learn from it. You can learn your motivations and why you were doing this, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, reflecting on my 60-day cleanse, which was super successful, there were some things that I did that I hadn't done previously that made it really successful, and I think doing it with under expert guidance was really helpful, you know, like people will be doing if they get your book. I did it with a really close girlfriend who sees the same doctor as I do, who's also I'm not 100% vegan, but I do like probably 80% because I feel
you're
better.
You're a flexitarian like me.
I'm a what?
You're a flexitarian.
A flexitarian, yeah. I love that. Yeah, because I mean, I will, okay, if I go to Japanese, I might have a little bit of Wagyu or something, but I don't, you know, I just don't choose to have it. But so she's full vegan because for health reasons. So that was really great. So we texted a couple of times a day, you know, oh, I want to eat a bag of chips, and, you know, kept each other on track. And then I had my go-tos. So avocado cut open, mashed in the shell with sea salt, grounded pepper, and lime juice.
That's one of my go-tos.
Yeah, like that would get me through almost anything, right? If I was on a fasting, like even on a juice day, if I was starving, I would have like half an avocado, you know, banana, dark chocolate, sweet potato, like these things that would really be filling and satiate me.
Your supercharged foods, exactly. So going for those whole foods are so good because they are going to satiate you. They've got everything that you need in them to help you.
Exactly.
Have more energy, balance your blood sugar, especially if you're having some nuts and some protein. That's a great way to balance your blood sugar if you're feeling a little bit like, you know, you're starving.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think for people to really understand, you know, if you want to do this, I mean, everything you said, and to just get to know yourself as you go through this process. And I think the other thing is we distract ourselves with food so much that when we sit in the space of not having the food and seeing what comes up for us is quite a phenomenal personal growth process if you're willing to sit in that space. Do you find that?
Absolutely. I absolutely agree with that. And I do talk about that in the book as well. I talk about how it's really important when you're fasting to sort of nourish yourself with loving thoughts as well. And it's not just always about food. It's interesting because I treat fasting as a self-care day.
Yes.
I'll have an early night. I'll have a bath. I'll go to bed, you know, 8:30, 9 o'clock. I'll remove all the focus away from weight loss and I'll channel my thoughts to understanding my motivations and behaviors as well. But the other thing that I love, and I write about it in the book, is that fasting is great because it allows you less physical activity and you're not thinking about food, cooking food, shopping for food. You're not always distracted by different things. So it allows you to open up your spiritual practice and your mind, and it allows mindfulness. And whether you are, you know, a spiritual person or not, it allows you to have spiritual growth. Do you know what I mean? So
totally.
I love that about fasting. It's about taking whether it gives you space to think or gives you space to not think, whatever it is, it gives you space within your life to really think about why you're doing things and to really nurture that spiritual practice. And I love that about that. And you mentioned some of your star ingredients that you have around as well. I've got some of those too. I always have some edamame, which is actually good when you're in menopause as well. I'll have some bone broth as well, just even if it's just buying bone broths from the supermarket. They're really good for filling you up as well if you're into those, or veggie kind of soups. I'll always have bananas around. Eggs are really good too if you do eat eggs. I know you're partially vegan, but if you eat eggs, it's really good. And just lots of fruit and veggies around. I think that they're my sort of go-to foods as well. Apple slices with a bit of cinnamon for sweetness.
Yes.
Tuna is my go-to, so avocado mashed with tuna, a little bit of hummus as well on it, and just mush it all up together. Add a bit of lemon juice, a bit of sea salt, and a bit of maybe cumin if you have it, or paprika. That's really good too.
Yum. Yeah, no, I do eat eggs, not that often, but I do love eggs. The thing that saves me, even like now, if I haven't really been fasting, but the thing that saves me is a soup. So I make my own soup every week.
Yeah,
I will make a big pot of. I alternate between two. I need to get another. I've just got a new recipe from a whole food chef friend of mine. But I have two soups. I make a sweet potato and carrot soup with garlic and onion, and I make a just big green vegetable soup. So
my trick to making soups is to always bake the veggies first. So the easiest way to make soup, I think, is if you're baking the veggies first. Throw them in the oven, bit of olive oil, put some whole garlic cloves in as well, bake it up, throw it into a saucepan, add some coconut milk, add some stock, whatever stock you're using, a little few herbs and spices, whether it's cumin or whatever spices you like to use, then you just whiz it up. That's literally how easy it is, isn't it?
It's so easy.
Your sweetness to the soup is just incredible.
Yeah, it's so easy. It's just, you know, if I have soup in the fridge, if I've worked all day and I don't feel like making any dinner, I'm safe. And if I don't have soup in the fridge, I scrounge around, you know, or I go to the noodle shop. So it's like make soup.
Japanese is actually quite good when you're fasting as well, because it's small portions and you can have some sashimi, some edamame, some seaweed, you know. So if you are out and about and you're wondering what to eat if you don't want to cook at home, I find Japanese quite good for when you're fasting.
Oh, no, me too. Japanese is my absolute go-to food if I'm out, for sure. Oh, look, this has been super helpful. I'd love, just to wrap this out, if you had three favourite recipes from this book, what would they be? putting you on the spot.
Well, I love my apple pancake recipe because it feels like a real treat, and you can't believe that you're actually eating it on a fasting day. So that's a really yummy recipe. There's also a really nice simple Saag chicken curry in there, which is so easy to make and really super yummy. So I recommend that one as well. What else do I like? I like dinner recipes. Oh, I do have a nice one pan roasted fish and veggie recipe, which is so quick and easy to make, and tastes delicious with lots of sort of herbs and spices. So that's delicious too. So I would recommend those three.
They're all on my make list this week now. Thank you very much. I needed some recipes this week. Oh, look, this has been super helpful, I think, for people, especially all my audience is mostly women. And, yeah, I think this goes beautifully with our last episode. So thank you so much, Lee. Just direct people for where to find you.
Yeah, so I have a website called superchargedfood.com, supercharged with a D. I'm also on Facebook under Supercharged Food, and I'm on Instagram under Lee Supercharged, L-E-E, and then Supercharged, and also on Twitter as well. So they can find me any of those means.
Wonderful. And go and check out all of Lee's books. And this one we've been talking about today is called Fast Your Way to Wellness, Supercharged Food. I just adore you. I think you are such a gift to everybody, particularly women. And, yeah, thank you so much for the work that you do and for sharing. You are prolific in the writing that you do and the publishing. And, yeah, it's just a gift. So thank you so much, my friend.
Oh, thank you so much. And I love what you do as well, sharing all your wise words with women all across the planet.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. We're perfectly matched. Bye for now.
Bye.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that. Lee is such a delight. She's so generous with her such depth of wisdom and knowledge that she has around food and the body, and I really hope that's been helpful. I can't recommend her books more highly. I have them all in my kitchen on my bench, and she is one of my absolute go-tos. So go and check out her work, lots of free resources on her website, and yeah, get into it. Get into your health, try the fasting, and let me know. Come over to my Facebook page and let me know how you are going. And if you have found this episode helpful, I would be so grateful if you would share it with your friends, if you'd head over to iTunes and leave a review. It's how more people can find out about these really cool and important conversations we're having to help women in their lives, with their leadership, and really importantly, with our well-being. So thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to joining you in the next episode. Bye for now.